It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos this morning. JoJo, what's up?
It's game day, baby.
It is.
Game day.
It is game day for college basketball, for the Predators.
Yeah,
for
I care about the Predators. That's it.
Well, you know what? They care about you.
What time is the game tonight?
That's a great question that I should know the answer to. Yes, it's 9 o'clock.
Okay.
8 o'clock pregame.
Hey, Max Herz, 8 o'clock pregame.
Looking forward to that.
Here we go. If you told me, like, during the regulars, like, back in October, said, hey, the Preds are going to go on this amazing point streak, and there's one team that's going to beat them and knock them out, what team would that be? I would have said Arizona, because that damn team always has given them fits forever. There we go.
Yeah, they have, but hopefully the Predators can continue that streak tonight. I mean, after just an emotional come-from-behind win on Tuesday, we're going to be joined by head coach Andy Brunette at the end of the show today at 10:45. So looking forward to that conversation with Bruno. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at 9:30. We got a lot to get into with the tournament, those things.
We
so
do. Yeah.
It's good.
So it was emotional Tuesday night.
It was. It really was.
It pulled your heartstrings. It was like a roller coaster, like the Wabash Cannonball at Opryland. You would go on and cry and cry for your mom.
Yes. You're going to have the question of the day in just a second. Yes, I've decided, because usually I don't really care. I let you do the music, and it's good, and we like a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
I've decided to take over the music today.
Please do.
These are songs that just randomly popped up on my music list on my iPhone.
So you have it on shuffle? You have your own station?
I had it on shuffle.
Okay.
It was Apple Music, had it on shuffle.
Are these songs that we know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But, different genres.
But do they pull at your heartstrings? Do they take you back at a certain place and time in your life?
Some of them do.
When things weren't as bad as they are now.
Some of them do.
So, all right, good.
We'll enjoy that. We'll enjoy that.
Does Dr. Crane have the list?
He does.
He has the list.
Can you tease us with one here? Do you mind, Chaser? I know you've got bunches. Tease us with one. Let's play like 5 seconds of it.
No, we're not going to play it. We'll give you a keyword.
You have already this morning guessed one artist.
Okay. Which we should play more and more of.
We should.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
He is on there for
That's
sure.
Good. I don't need sad songs. Are these upbeat songs? I don't need sad songs.
Oh, yeah. They're upbeat.
Okay.
And there's one song that I feel like, every man should listen to as they're coming of age.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a great story, and everybody should live by that song.
Cats in the Cradle?
No.
Man, I Feel Like a Woman, Shania Twain? Is that not it? It's got to be it. All right, I'll look forward to that.
It's 2024.
Yes, it is. Never know what happens today. That's right.
So, no, not that one.
Good.
So, yeah, we have that. I have one little Nashville traffic thing that I want to get off my chest. That it actually kind of thumped my chest a little bit
because okay.
Chase Earnhardt's feeling pretty good this morning.
Oh, okay. Good. Go.
So I'm on 440, right? And we've pretty much established nowadays that nobody goes to speed limit. Officers, if you're listening, I think you know that too. So that's happening because if you go the speed limit, you're going to get run over.
That's
pretty much just what happens now. And so I am on 440, and things are a little kind of bottleneck a little bit. So I jump over in the left lane, and I'm cruising along. Well, so we got a little hot shot behind us. A little hot shot. You know the hot shots, right? You know that drive the nice car and got the nice sunglasses on.
Yeah, like a Robbie Stanley kind
think
of guy.
Yeah, like a Robbie Stanley type. Think actually more of a Rex Road type, Just think their stuff don't stink, So – dude's right up on my bumper, right? And I'm like, I'm not moving. Like you tailgate me all you want. I'm not moving.
Did you slow down to like the speed limit?
No. I kept my speed because I was like, I know what he's gonna do. He's gonna try and get a run of me. He's gonna find an open lane next to me, and then he's gonna pass.
You've seen this game before.
But Chase Earnhardt comes into play, and I saw up ahead what I was going to do. And so, sure enough, he sees the opening. He jumps over to the other lane. Chase Earnhardt speeds up a little bit. There's a car in front of him I use as a pick. He gets blocked in, 18-wheeler then pulls up behind me, and he gets way blocked in.
Attaboy. Were you celebrating?
Oh, I was celebrating because I'm cruising to daylight, and he gets stuck in traffic. I was like, that's what you get, hot shot.
Nice. Then he follows you to the parking lot. He's like, hey, I didn't see you back there. I'm so sorry.
Plot twist, the driver's a 76-year-old woman from
Alaska.
Right?
Bigger plot twist, it was Dr. Crane.
Yeah. No, oh, my goodness. All right, so 440, and I'm telling you right now, Donaldson Pike has reached a new level of hell. So all of our friends that go to the airport, Donaldson Pike, just pack the patience and watch out for Chase McCabe running behind you because it's gotten bad. And I tweeted this last night, too. I'm 55 years old, okay? I know I don't look it, thanks. But I swear to God, 53 of these years that I've been on the planet, I-24 has been under construction.
You're probably
I'm not
right.
kidding you. It's been under Briley construction.
Briley Parkway, too.
It's awful. Now, Briley Parkway towards me and Opryland and God's Country and Donaldson's fine. Yeah. It's good. It's just backed up a lot of times.
For the first 25 years of my life, Briley Parkway was under construction.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I-24, and I don't know what they're – I don't know what the construction – I just see orange barrels, and I don't know what the orange barrels are doing. And now it's become like a running joke, like just keep it going to the day I die. Just keep it going out there. So for all of us around Nashville, just – please understand that we feel your angst and your pain every
yes.
morning.
And your friend that texts us every day, 6809, is saying, I'm so cool with my 440 story. Who cares? Well,
who cares? That guy is an absolute bonehead. Do not let him in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Will on Music Row, fellas, I'm on my way to play two versus two at West Haven Golf Course against a good friend of mine and his father-in-law. What should the punishment for the loser be? You decide, and we will abide. Oh,
okay. You have to throw an upside down pineapple in their face if you're going if you're going to West Haven. That's what you got to do, Will. You get to drop an upside down pineapple from a balcony on their head if you're going to West Haven. If you know, you know.
That's gonna take a. Take you a few different places.
So I guess it would be funny, like 15 seconds with a water hose just right in your face. Let's make that's like money or anything. Let's just like do something that's, you know, it's gonna
yeah.
funny, you know, way humiliate you.
What's it? I mean, it's kind of cold today, though.
Like, what's being a sissy?
What's the temp going to be later?
68.
I'm not trying to get these people sick.
I feel like a fire hose would be better, just because
that would hurt.
I know, but more pressure would just kind of send you off.
You're trying to take the skin off somebody's face. What the hell's wrong with you?
Fire hose when they try to calm a crowd after like a World Series win. Good Lord, they get shot into the next county. All right, read the question again.
Well, he just said greatest response ever. He knows.
That's right.
Will of Music Row.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Fellas, I'm on the way to play two versus two at West Haven with a good friend of mine, his father-in-law. What should the punishment for the loser be? You decide, and we will abide.
Oh, man. That's a great question. Oh,
Look, there's a lot of pressure here. But I love that we have been thought of to do this.
You could throw a pour milkshake on there. I mean, we got to do something that requires some sort of humiliation, but not like that bad. Like pour a milkshake on their head, or I don't mean something simple and like you'd see on Nickelodeon, slime them. I don't know, something along those lines. I mean, if we were on the radio and I was talking to you in private, I got all kind of ideas for you.
Oh yeah, let us think on this, Will. We'll get you something.
That's
Don't
a
worry.
Good one, Will. Thank you, buddy.
What's our question of the day?
All right. So my son has to take the ACT next weekend, and he's taken it once already. I want to know, when you took the ACT, what your score was, right, when you took it. I took it four times in high school. I made a 19 each time, and that's not a joke. And I've written about this. A 19. Then my daughter goes in high school. She takes it. She's like, Daddy, my ACT score's back. I said, what'd you get? She said, I don't know, I got a 19. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Then my son takes it, and he gets a 19. We've got 19 six times. I know a good friend of mine that got a 34. I know one got a 32. How are you getting these 32s and 34s? What is your ACT score? And now, if I took the ACT now, I couldn't get into college. I don't know, and I think I'm a decent, intelligent guy. I'm not brilliant or anything, but we want to know what your ACT score was. Chase, what was yours?
Mine was good enough to get me into MTSU. I don't remember. I think it was like an 18 or a 19, somewhere in there. I don't remember. For some reason, the number 21 stands out, but I feel like it stands out because that's like good, right?
No.
It's not good.
Like anything like over 24. What I don't 24 thought and above is good because that's what you need now to get into college. Dr. Crane, what'd you have?
For first time, I'm not ashamed of it. Went 17. I kept progressing higher. Said 19. Then I got a 21, and then 21 again.
That a boy took 4 times. So you were
maybe
out.
It was a 21.
Okay.
Because whatever I got was good. As soon as MTSU was like accepted, I'm like, good.
You're well done. So we'll take a break. I've got the best advice for taking the ACT when we come back. I have the best advice.
Plus opening day in the majors. Looking forward to
is
that.
It
sure is. It sure is.
Why can't they wait till next week?
I don't know. You ask them. Call Rob Manfred right now.
It's a good day, Joe.
Okay.
Get Rob Manfred's number, and he'll call him.
Who do you Braves play?
They play the Phillies, but they will play tomorrow. Their game got rained. They had a lot of rain coming in today, so it'll be tomorrow.
Up there?
In Philly.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So looking forward to that. Plus, the Predators look to make it a 19-game point streak tonight against Arizona. So much to get into. Ride along with us, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063, The Game. There's number one. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, The Game. I do hope this is the clean version. here on this Thursday.
It is.
Good. All right. Our question of the day is, do you remember what you got on the ACT? But Will texted us asking for us to come up with what the loser does in their golf match today. And a few of you weighed in on this.
Tell again, where's the golf match taking place?
Was it West Haven?
West Haven, yeah. Down in Franklin.
Rob, Rob says losing team has to drive around the neighborhood in a golf cart with a pineapple on top until someone invites you in their house.
Oh, man.
Look it
I'm
up.
I'm done.
John says loser plays next round in a dress.
Okay, we could. That'd be fine.
Brian says have the losers wear a duck suit and a sign that reads, "We duck at golf."
Man, that's it. That's a lot of thought in that one. Well done.
Alex says losing team has to take the ACT. And also says I got a 25, by the way.
Oh, wait, a humble brag. Well done on that. Well done. Yeah. These are rolling through here. Read the one who got the 35.
Let's see. 8566. I got a 35 the first time I took it. So I bought a prep book and studied to take it again, trying to see if I could get a perfect 36. And I got a 35 again anyway. Both times, reading was the category that kept me from a 36, which made no sense because I was a book nerd in high school and read all the time. And you bought a book that you read.
You got a 35. If I would have come home with a 35, my mom would have called the police. Like, somebody's impersonating my son. That's what would have happened. Good job for you on that. 35 is excellent.
So here's my thing for 8566. You're the overachieving type that just annoyed me. Now, congratulations to you, because I'm sure you're like a lawyer or a doctor or something now. But, you know, and here I am talking on the radio for a living. But like, if I had gotten a 35, I would have been like, can you retest it? Because I'm pretty sure you're wrong. Like, because here's the thing. Where's Rebecca's text? Rebecca said this too. Standardized testing proves that people will test well. Does not prove intelligence or ability. I agree. I do not test well. So I had to – I think I took the ACT multiple times. I took the SAT once, and I was like, screw this. And I never tested well. Like, any type of multiple choice or thing like that, my teachers finally figured that out where, you know, in something where it was applicable, I could write an essay, and I did well. Because if I could – because I knew the stuff.
Right.
It was just I couldn't do it on, like, if I had – multiple answers that were similar or stuff like that. I just tested poorly. That was just, you know, and a lot of people do.
God,
so
what an excuse. That's
it's
sad.
Not an excuse. It's just, it's BS that that's how we judge if you can go to college or not.
That is, I mean, you're just pocket full of excuses. That's it. It's popping them out there.
I'm going to punch you in a second.
Before we read more, here's my advice to those taking the ACT. I was told this one time by a friend of a friend who had a her stepdad knew a guy that worked at sanitation whose brother worked at the ACT plant or whatever. It's been throughout history. Just somebody did this, and I'm not sure. I like to believe it's true. Put C down the entire time. Wrote C for every answer, made a 17. He swears by it. That he went all the way down because he had nothing to lose. C all the way down. Which,
so that means 10 is C.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Nothing. To, can you imagine taking the ACT and have nothing to lose? Like, whatever. And so he guessed C and got a 17. So that's the advice I tell people. Just put it all down, 17.
Well, Joe, I was one of those people that took that advice. First time.
Did you really?
I texted you guys in the group chat. I was like, listen, first time I took it was after a game we played Baylor in Chattanooga. Had to wake up the next morning at 6:30, went to Brentwood High School to take it. C for everything, got a 17.
Wow. Okay. Well,
then,
there you go.
The next two times I had to go to a tutor, I guess, which was a waste of money and time. 19.
I did that too.
Yeah, it was a waste of time. And then the last time I did, I was like, you know what? Let's throw everything out the window. 21. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I went to like a SAT, ACT prep tutor class.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what'd they tell you? Guess C?
They said give up.
Go to the room?
No. I don't remember. No, they didn't say guess C. But here's my other thing too. Like you and we were talking about this. If I could go back and tell 18-year-old Chase what to do, I would have taken a year off in between high school and college, gone to work for dad, because I ended up taking a break in college and guess what I did? I went and worked for dad. So at the restaurant and all that stuff, and he worked my ass off to make sure I went back to college. So good. Thanks for that.
Right.
But I would have done that and then done the, you know, junior college, community college route, get all the, you know, the crap out of the way that I didn't need or didn't care about, and then go and focus on my major.
Isn't that what you did, Dr. Crane?
Yes, sir. Well, I kind of did the Chase route, but I took a gap year in between community college and then, you know, going to MTSU.
Yeah.
But I did the Promise Program, which is 2 free years of education. It's supported by the Tennessee State Lottery here. So people like Joe Dubin that play the lottery, you know, his money goes towards my education.
There you go. Thank you, Joe. So I guess you didn't.
Thank you for my education. Thank you.
I didn't win. I don't know what happened to Powerball last night, but
somebody won. It's down to $20 million.
Good Lord, that just ruined your day right there. That's the whole thing. It's
no, somebody won the Mega Millions.
So Powerball was last night. Too.
Yeah,
that $1.1 billion is gone.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
the Powerball is still 935, so we're good there.
Okay, so we get to keep playing like that. All right. Yeah. Here, read that real quick. I'll talk. So my thing is I was awful. I was an awful student in college the first time. Awful. And then I took a break for a few years and then I came back and I was perfect. So I was able to mature, you know, and I was an idiot in college, an absolute idiot through college the first time around. Right. So like you take a year off and do all that stuff. So you figure out, like, you kind of mature-wise and grow. I mean, I got all the partying out of my system. And I went back the second time as a 26, 27-year-old man. I'm like, I'm going to graduate college. I mean, I buckled down and did it and got it done and graduated. So because you screw up the first time or the second time, just keep going, man. Just keep going. Just don't quit. If you quit, you already know your answer. Just keep going. ACT does not determine how bright you are. I mean, it's unfortunate. That's how you do college things now. Otherwise,
it
just, I don't know.
It's like Rebecca said, it proves you test well. It really doesn't prove anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go for 4 years or whatever it takes, and they give you a piece of paper that tells you know how to do something.
Right. But damn it, I got it on my wall.
Yeah.
I think mine's in a drawer. I earned every piece of thread on that diploma paper. Trust me. I up and down and...
You know, they're bringing back those, vocational schools, trade schools.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's a great thing. I don't know why it ever went away, but, you know, a lot of people now are starting to do those things. And it's funny because people that go to school and they're just, you know, on social media, it's like I call it the dancing generation of our time.
Right. Because
everybody's online just dancing.
Yeah.
You might as well just go to a trade school and learn something, you know?
All right, let's read some of these real quick. 2399 says, I made a 24 three times. I'm 26 years old and would most definitely get a score lower now. There was a lot of useless information on there that I haven't used since I took the test. Amen to that. John says, is the best advice to take the ACT or best advice to get a 19?
Both. I just take it and see what you get and guess C the whole time.
Blake said, I had a 23 three times and I made it through engineering school according to the test. I can't read.
Attaboy, Blake. Well done, buddy.
Will says, I'm about to hit the range. Text me when you guys decide and I'll try and get a video and tag you.
Oh, nice.
Alden says, I always feel weird answering the what'd you get on the ACT question. People ask that. That and one, I took it 14 years ago. Who cares? Two, if I say my score and the other person is much lower, it seems like I'm bragging.
No. He better text back and tell him. We want to know your score. We want to know that you did well. I think it's great. I know a friend that got a 6 on it, and he's pretty damn successful.
Yeah. Flannel Fred says, Chase, I'm glad you were transparent and honest and told us how bad you did on the ACT because I was not going to share that 3 of the 4 times I took it, I got an 18. Thanks for blazing the path.
Well done. I know a guy that got a 6. I know a guy that got a 34. I mean, so it's the wide range, and both of them are successful.
0611 says, I got a 30 on the ACT, and I teach pickleball for a living, so take that as you will. I like that.
Making some money doing that.
Yeah. Lisa and Dixon, I made a 28 on my ACT. High on math and English, not so much on science and social studies. Kyle in Shelbyville, I took it 3 tries, got an 18, got my football scholarship, LOL. Kyle. 2758, I took the GRE once to get into graduate school and only had to take the test, no score to make. After the test, Proctor asked if I wanted my score. I said nope and walked out.
By the way, real quick, I had no idea what a proctor was till like 2 years ago. I thought, don't laugh, I'm not kidding you, I thought it was short for proctologist. I am not, this is 100% serious. I had no idea what a proctor was. Somebody said, my dad's a proctor. I'm like, God, that's a lot of medical school, right? And that's a job I wouldn't want to have. And they're like, what? He makes sure you don't cheat on tests. I'm like, what? How is that pop? Then I realized, I was like, oh my, I'm not kidding you. I'd never heard that word in my life. Ever. Really? Never.
Well, now you know.
And for those wondering how I got a, for those who wonder how I got a 19 on the ACT, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Michael and Madison, I got a 30 on the ACT the first time, and yep, that's good for me. So I dropped out of college after 2 years to be a welder. There you go, Michael.
Probably making more money than all of us combined times 10.
Yeah,
good for you,
probably.
Buddy.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into some hockey with our man Greg Wyshynski. He will join the show. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. Every Thursday at this time, we talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Greg, good morning. What's up?
Did I hear you guys were talking about ACT scores this morning?
We were. Yeah. What did you get on your ACT?
I was in the 99th percentile on my ACTs. And let me tell you that were it not for that, I don't think I would have gotten the kind of help I got to get into Maryland where I went to college. Like my SAT score was very, remember, I'm like really old, right? So my SAT score was like the old SAT where it was like the scores were lower and stuff. And I forget exactly what I got on it, but my ACT, I like killed it. I don't know. Like it was, you know, it was like a 7-point night for me when I took my ACTs, it was like my calling card to like get into college and stuff. So I proudly flaunt my ACT acumen. I'm sure if I took that test today, I'd probably be in like the 30th percentile because of age and drinking. But at that time, man, I killed it.
Yeah, I would have had no shot, that's for sure, today. So you came on with us at the beginning of the season, and you said that you had picked the Predators to make the playoffs. Are you taking victory laps with your colleagues yet, you know, watching what they're doing right now, going for a 19-game point streak, or have you started the celebration as of yet?
Well, as long as they don't notice, I also picked the Devils to make the playoffs, and picked the Lightning to miss the playoffs. Then I think I'll be in good shape, and I can trumpet my expertise on the Predators. I just thought again, like to go back to the beginning of the season, the mindset. I mean, listen, nobody, including myself, thought they'd be this torrid at this point in the season. But like, I certainly thought that mix of veterans and young players, if they got enough goaltending, and eventually they did, and just the complete change in vibes of bringing in Barry Trotz back to the organization and bringing in a guy in Andrew Brunette, who I knew was going to get these guys skating and playing a style of hockey that speaks to the moment in this league versus trying to do something that maybe fell out of fashion like 5 years ago. Like, it all added up to them being competitive in a conference that I thought was a lot more in flux down the order than people maybe thought. I mean, like, the wild card to me was wide open, and the Predators certainly had the opportunity to get in there, and hell, they still probably have an opportunity to get in the top three in the Central if they keep playing as well as they are.
What did you think about the other night, though? Down 4-1, and then they battle back in the third period to win in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the opponent, right? Like, an opponent that clearly isn't what they're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to get other guys back the first, you know, in game one of the first round, as they do. But I mean, yeah, that was the impressive part of it. And again, like, just this never say die thing. And again, that's part of the thing that Andrew Brunette's teams have shown. I mean, I can't give him all the credit for the way the Devils played last year, but he clearly had an influence on that team to the point where the guy that he was coaching with is no longer coaching the team. And that was a team that had sort of a never say die attitude. They were confident that they were going to be able to rally in games based on the style and the system that they played. And I think that the Predators on some nights, you can see the same sort of DNA in their makeup.
Greg, in 2018, you know, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Barry Trotz was the head coach. I know he wasn't the GM, but are there any similarities at all in that Capitals team in 2018 and what you're seeing from the Preds now? Because I'm sure Barry had a little influence on that team, but are there any kind of similarities from these two?
Well, I mean, other than, you know, trying to rely on the goaltending as much as you can, I mean, in that instance, Barry kind of backed the wrong horse at one point where he thought Philip Grubauer was going to be the guy to lead them, and it ended up being Braden Holtby instead. I mean, obviously, but the bottom line is that the Cavs had pretty solid goaltending on which to build. Two different situations, to be honest with you. I think the Predators are a team that is clearly, you know, has a veteran core that has done quite well, but is clearly trying to transition to maybe a younger generation of player and reaping the benefits of having both those generations doing, you know, great things to the team right now. And that Capitals team was much more, I think psychological heavy lifting. I think he probably had to play therapist on that team more than he wanted to, insofar as all of those playoff disappointments stacked on one on top of each other, and then finally getting past the Penguins in that playoff run to win the Cup. Two different situations, but the way that Barry Trotz likes to build out from the crease might be the best similarity.
What you watch this Predator team now, you know, since that awful loss to Dallas back in mid-February, 9-2, are you sitting there and, you know, you're scrolling through and you're like, God, they're winning again. They're going to lose tonight. They're winning again. How are you taking all this when you watch this hockey team play? Because now they've gone this historic streak here in Nashville, then people are like, what in the world is going on?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we know why it's happened. It's because their souls were crushed by not getting to see Where the Streets Have No Name played inside the Sphere. We all know that's the hockey fable that's been written about this team. But the thing I keep coming back to about the Predators, and I think that the closer we get to awards voting, the more we're going to hear about it, is Roman Josi. Like, I think our next awards watch, our last one actually before the voting is done, yeah, I think it's going to run next Wednesday on ESPN. And I'd be shocked if Josi isn't in the top three for the Norris. He hasn't been all season. There's still some, you know, noise about maybe Victor Hedman from the Lightning being up in there with Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar. But, you know, I think that Yossi's a guy that clearly gets a lion's share of credit for how this team has played in the last month. I think that you could make an argument that he probably also deserves a little bit of MVP love for the way that he's played for this team. And I do wonder, because sometimes these awards inherently have some recency bias in the way that they're voted on, you know, whether maybe like a guy like Quinn Hughes has peaked too soon and a guy like Roman Josi has the opportunity to maybe catch up to him the way that he's played for the Predators during the streak. I mean, anyone who thinks the Preds aren't getting noticed, like outside of Nashville, like, please understand they're getting noticed. Like, people are like, wow, this Nashville team is fun and it's cool and it's been really exciting to see. The U2 thing, you know, we joked about it, but it's obviously like a calling card for the team in front of a lot of people and getting them on people's radars. And because of that, I think that Josi is going to get a lot of attention in the next few weeks when it comes to the awards voting.
Greg Wyshynski is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. Do you think that there could be some others that work their way into the awards, whether it's Bruno or Barry Trotz, even as GM of the Year?
I hate GM of the year. I really do. I hate that award so much. Because honestly, like it's always – I know that they, like, vote on it through the second round of the playoffs, and, you know, a lot of it is kind of like, what did you do last summer? What did you do at the trade deadline kind of stuff? But, I mean, we really don't know how all of this works out until, like, 3 years from now, right? Like, these trades, sure. You know, the draft picks that you gave up, that sort of thing. And I'll let me sidebar something real quick. I'll say that Bruno, for me, should get a lot of Jack Adams love. It is going to be a pretty crowded field. I mean, you're going to have Tortorella. You're going to have Tockett. You're going to have Jim Montgomery with the Bruins. It's going to be a really crowded field. But I made the case yesterday. I'll make it again here. You know who should be GM of the year? It should be Mike Greer with the San Jose Sharks. Because, like, it should be the guy who does his job the best, right?
Well, yeah, it's a rebuild. Job.
Yeah, this guy's job was to be as horrible as you possibly can be to get the first overall pick, and they've clearly got the best lottery odds right now. And on top of that, you know, dumped a bunch of those long-term contracts that they had in their books, got, you know, a decent return for them. But, like, the most important thing is that they're not responsible for paying Tomas Hertl for several seasons or Erik Karlsson for several seasons. So, I mean, you know, if you look at the parameters of what somebody is supposed to do and what their task is, there's few guys that have done it as well as Mike Greer on top of, you know, building a roster that I think has, like, at last count a minus 133 goal differential in the standings, which is like a goal differential that some teams couldn't amass over the course of three seasons, let alone one. So, like, he's got my vote for GM of the year. I don't have a vote, but if I did, I'd give it to him because I think he did his job the best.
Well done. Before we get out of here, Greg, Chase and I, we're big on mental health and helping other guys going through problems and things. And I see, you know, the Capitals, Ethan Barry, he entered the player assistance program. I'm the outside looking in. I think the NHL has done a great job, Greg. You might know have more information than I do, of accepting these guys, helping these guys out, because at the end of the day, they're just like you and me, right? I mean, they're human beings. And so do you think the NHL has done a great job of doing this, getting the word out and letting guys come in and say, look, I need help?
From the program itself's perspective, I've heard good things and I've heard okay things about it. Like, I think that there are some guys that have had really good experiences going through the player assistance program and it worked out great. And then there are some people that maybe were left wanting a little bit more from it, to be honest with you. But the bigger picture answer on that is that I think the NHL and the NHLPA have done a really good job destigmatizing mental health and destigmatizing guys looking for help if they've got a problem with substance abuse or depression or things like that. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you could always tweak the program and make it better. But the biggest first obstacle is creating an environment where these guys feel comfortable asking for help. And I think that we can say that the NHL and the NHLPA have done a pretty good job of doing that. Even within, like, the last 10 years, I think that players are definitely more comfortable coming forward. And I think you can credit the program with that.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet. Here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, we'll get back to your text. What did you make on the ACT? Also, Andrew Brunette is going to join us at 10:45 today, so looking forward to that. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And she said, yes, we didn't go to church. But I got blessed. I knew my rent was gonna be late about a week ago. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I mean, how does this song not just get you up and dancing, right?
Get you vibing.
It's amazing. Welcome back to the show. Our question, by the way, 10:45, Predators coach Andrew Brunette's going to join us from out in Arizona.
This was not on my list.
I didn't want to play any while you were
this
gone.
This is how much he cares about you.
No, oh, okay. I didn't.
He's like, Chase is not here, so it's unfair to play a song when he's not here.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for clarifying that.
So
I'll give you that.
You're out tending to duties, and so we had to kind of take over a little bit here, so we're fine. So anyway, 10:45, Andrew Brunette will join us. Our question of the day, which is a lot of y'all are weighing in on this, is what did you get on the ACT? Because a lot of kids have to take it next weekend. I took it 87 times and made a 19 each time. Chaser made a 21. Dr. Crane climbed the scale of 17, 19, whatever you did, you passed. And so you guys are waiting on this. We have a lot of Chase. We have a smart audience.
We do
a lot of people. Who know,
and you know what? I'm glad we haven't had anybody, you know, be like brag or, you know, make us feel bad about.
Here's my thing about bragging, okay? And it's from the Godfather movie. I mean, never apologize for your success.
Yeah, I agree.
never apologize for if you've done something well. So the guy earlier was like, you know, I don't want to tell people my ACT score is really good, and I feel like I'm – no. I want to know that there are people, please, God, that there are people smarter than me on this planet. Because if 19 is like the level we attained to, that's awful, and that's what I made. So that's the question of, like, what's going on your ACT score. 4819, Steven from Hendersonville says – Steven says,
hold it down for a second.
Yeah, take care, buddy. Has the text line is frozen on me.
Computers, Joe. It just happens sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Steven says, math was my best subject. I thought I bombed the math section. By the time I got to the last section, I was so frustrated that I answered C for the whole section. I left the testing center and went straight to the Navy recruiter. I signed up for the delayed entry program and scored a 96 on my ASVAB. 4 weeks later, I got my ACT score. It was a 29. By answering all C's. Well done, Steven. Huffy and Dixon, this is for a lot of us. I don't remember my score, but I'm assuming it was bad. Oh, you remember what it is. 8342 says, I got a 19 in the seventh grade and a 32 when I took it for real to get into college. See, you can't progress just like Dr. Crane did.
Thank you. Yeah. Except that was more of a... I don't know how to say it. Like, maybe a slingshot up. They went from a 19 to a 32. I mean, that's pretty good.
Dustin from Hopkinsville has a really good one. Skip the ACT, get into a trade early in high school. Be making 30 plus an hour by 23 years old. I'm making over $40 an hour as an electrician in my fifth year. Well done, buddy.
Yes.
Plumbers at my company make over $55 an hour.
I love that.
God bless plumbers, because that's a job I can't do. But God bless them. And that's why they deserve every penny of that.
At least their skin doesn't crack too much.
David in Portland made a 16 on mine. That was enough. Only took it one time, and I was done with it. Justin says, I'm an intelligent man now. I tested terribly when I was a teenager. I think if I took it now, do better back in 1996, I made a 15. You know, that's a good thing. What if we took the ACT now, all of us?
I'm sure there's an online version of this.
I think I'd like to do this. I don't think I would get much better than I had a 19 when I did it. I don't think I would.
I'll go online during the break and see if I can find one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for doing that. That'll be well done there. Anyway, keep them coming. 615-737-1025 on your ACT score. Again, Predators head coach Andrew Burnett will join us at 10:45.
Thank you for holding it down.
Yeah, pal.
We have some stuff happening. So, yeah.
Boss man. I'm glad I get 2 hours of your time every day, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, wheeling and dealing.
So we do. By the way, somebody on the text line, if you did this already, stop me, but I had it pulled up, asked for the definition of proctor.
Yes, yes.
According to the North American, which is what we are, a person who monitors students during an examination.
That's pretty simple. Again, earlier somebody said, you know, about a proctor, and I thought, I'm not kidding you, they said their dad was a proctor, and I thought he was a proctologist. And I was like, I have no idea what a proctor was.
The British definition is an officer, usually one or two, at certain universities appointed annually and having mainly disciplinary functions.
Oh, so you're whipping some butt.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad then.
You'd be good at that.
I don't know, man.
You can be scary when you need to be.
Thank you. So watch yourself, pal.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. So being a proctor pay well?
I don't know.
I don't do good in all silence. I'm not good in that.
I don't either. Well, I think, am I right or wrong on this, that now with these tests, they do let you listen to music?
That is correct. They do? When I went for my ACT, there was a kid with an iPod. There was a kid with an iPod in the back row.
I'm pretty sure I was allowed to do that.
How do they monitor that? I'd put on like a podcast of answers on the ACT. That's what I would do. Are you serious? Wow, yeah. Okay.
You have to put it in airplane mode, I do believe. It has to be downloaded.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I do recall that. It was on an email. I don't know why I remember this, but I do remember an email on my school from high school. They were showing it. It said how to be airplane mode, downloaded. It could be any type of music, have lyrics, no lyrics, and so forth.
That's why I stopped doing trivia night, because everybody cheated. Because it's like, you know, they put their phones in their lap, and it was no fun. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore when you guys... can't abide by the rules.
That's where there should be a bucket right there when you walk in. Yeah.
9916, my ACT score was a 15. That's why I'm your friend Big Rick's coworker, even though he's smarter than all of us.
Ricky, tell him what you made on the ACT. Ricky went to Hunter's Lane. And he had one of the top ACT scores ever at Hunter's Lane. He got a 4. Well done, Ricky. He's in the Hall of Fame over
Ricky
there.
Ricky runs circles around all of us. That is for sure.
He's much smarter than I will ever be.
We have something coming up today, right?
Yeah. About this event's going on,
okay.
Benefiting the FCA. At
when
10,
is
15.
That? Is 10, that next?
10:15.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Just an event that 102.5 is a part of. I'm hosting on Saturday, and just get the good word about this great organization. That's
well,
it.
That will be awesome for sure. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today. It's Vanderbilt baseball. Takes on Missouri with pregame at 5:45 and first pitch at 6. Vanderbilt baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.